And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and the Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, April 4th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of an incredible program. We've got a very special program for you tonight with a very special guest we're going to introduce momentarily. Just want to remind our new listeners, in fact, of those people who chimed in prior to the program letting us know they're listening from Idaho Falls, Idaho, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and if I get this right, La Chorora, Panama, listening via the internet. And also we have a regular listener base just north of Jerusalem, where it's very late or very early, depending on how you are. We want to say hello to you folks, everyone listening on your mobile device or your computer. We want to say welcome to the program. We broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can find us on the internet at our home base at HomelandSecurityUS.com. And usually, folks, you can watch us. We are through the Christians United Broadcasting Network. And we want to thank Troy for this. We are Troy from the Christian John Broadcast Network. He set us up with a beautiful, beautiful website where you can watch us as we broadcast. That'll be in full 100% force. It already is now, but I'll be in full force and Joe and stuff here, if not tomorrow, then for sure on Monday. But that's at the Hagman and HagmanReport.com. Folks, we want to thank you very much for joining us tonight and for your belief and your trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. Joe, I want to say welcome today, and it's great to see you in studio. It's
I'm glad to be here.
Got everybody chat.
You're muted, man. You're muted. I can hear you. There we go.
All right. Sorry about that. No, glad to be here today. We got a wonderful show scheduled. We have an excellent guest, a very biblical man, a very spiritual man, who has his fingertip right on the pulse of current events in Bible prophecy, and you are not going to be sorry about listening to tonight's show, as we have Mr. Paul McGuire joining us tonight, hopefully for the whole 3 hours, and a lot of subject matter we're going to get into.
Yeah, and if I could set this up, ladies and gentlemen, really quickly, just right before we bring Mr. McGuire on, I got to tell you this. As you know, as people know, and I'm the older of the two, of course, Joe being my son, obviously, the older two of the two hosts. But one thing that I've got to say, as an investigator for the last almost 30 years, you develop this habit, you develop this mindset, this two-dimensional sometimes, blinder focus kind of thing. You've got this way of doing things, and you just don't quite, really, you just fall into this pattern. It's not really a good pattern to fall into. You're confined by certain things, like you think within the box, you think within certain parameters. And until you begin to expand your mind, and until you begin to really understand that everything you see about you is built on lies or built on evil, then and only then do you really understand all of the headlines today. Our guest tonight, folks, I am so excited. Joe set this up, and he told me about this, and I started getting into Mr. Paul McGuire's website. And folks, but if you do nothing else tonight, you've got to go to paulmcguire.org. And that's Paul, M-C-G-U-I-R-E.org. And check out his website, and definitely check out his store, his books, his DVDs, his articles. I got to tell you, Joe, you know me, right? I mean, obviously you know me professionally. If I wasn't your dad, wouldn't you say that Paul McGuire is like a and I think alike now? From what you know, Paul and me.
Startling to see and hear the similarities between you guys and the subject matter and the delivery, and it's interesting. Just something I've noticed in listening to some of the more recent things I've been following that Mr. McGuire put out. I have not read too many. I haven't read any of his books yet, but we're ordering those, and we're going to be reading them. And some of the articles I've read, but I haven't matched up the writing style yet. But no, you guys are very similar in mind, and it's interesting.
I'll just say this before we bring him on. I am so impressed by this man. You know, we've had Nathan Leal on, we've had others on, Doc Marquis, we've interviewed just numerous others, but Paul McGuire's understanding, comprehension, but more importantly, his delivery, both in speech and in writing. Oh my goodness, man! I just cannot say enough good about him, and everything that we're going to talk about, everything that Mr. McGuire has been talking and writing about, we're reading about in today's headlines. And that, for everyone listening, whether you're listening in the United States today, whether you're listening in Canada, whether you're listening in Central America, as we have some, or in any of the other continents that you are listening to us on. You're going to find out that tonight's program affects you. And Mr. McGuire does have certain answers. He has been so generous with his time. This man has he's been on Fox, CNN. He's a speaker who's been in demand. And we're very fortunate to have him as a guest. I want to thank Joe very much for setting this up for us. With that, Mr. McGuire, God bless you. Thank you for coming on the Hagman and the Hagman Report today.
Gentlemen, it's a great honor. I assume this is my open door. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Okay.
It was kind of a long-winded introduction.
No, yep. It's fine. It was quite. I'm quite thankful for people may say, well, you know, that would affect his ego. Well, as you know, it's hard to have an ego when we talk about the kind of things that we talk about. So it was refreshing to talk to somebody of like-mindedness, because that, as you know, is very rare.
That's right. You're right. And we talk to people all the time, and we talk to the callers who call in from all over the world and saying, you know, Doug and Joe, we're trying to wake people up, and we're trying to talk to people about this larger agenda that's at play here. As watchmen, we, and you, of course, in your capacity as a watchman, we've got difficulty really talking with others, and we find ourselves being not only mocked and ridiculed, but really a lot of people are shying away from us and saying, man, you guys are wearing tinfoil.
Just on basic biblical issues, let alone, you know, getting into all this New World Order, the Luciferian agenda, one world government stuff. It's it's very, we're you know, it's like we're fighting on this world, a spiritual battle where people don't use the authority they have, and we can see it hurting the church so much, and the church is under attack. But we're so glad you're here tonight, Mr. McGuire. You are the author of several books, The Day the Dollar Died, The Warning, Are You Ready for the Microchip Implant? In an email you sent me talking about what you wanted to get into on the show, you sent so many interesting subjects we could get into, and I saw on your alert today, first and foremost, was North Korea and what is happening there. So I guess we can start off there. What do you see taking place with North Korea and all the saber rattling we see? Is this more than saber rattling, in your opinion?
Well, you know, with North Korea, and then you have the interrelationship between North Korea, China, Russia, Japan, the United States, and a number of other players. And as you know, what's behind this is the economic battle and geopolitical battle between the U.S., Japan, China, and Russia. And as you've probably been following, just this week, Australia announced the fact that it is no longer going to use the U.S. dollar as a currency to trade with when they trade with China. They're going to go directly to the Chinese currency. And then that's like the latest in about 10 or 9 very big nations, India, Russia, several European nations, and a growing list of nations, Iran, and a growing list of nations are saying we're no longer going to use the U.S. dollar as an instrument of exchange. We're going to go around the U.S. dollar, which basically throws us out the back window in terms of being the de facto world currency, which will create enormous economic harm and in the long term destroy the dollar and bring in a global currency. But this there's an escalation going on of very prominent nations getting rid of the dollar and using their own currencies to trade with. So you have that backdrop, and then you have these escalating tensions between Japan and China, both militarily and economically. And Japan is now arming itself at a very serious rate, as is China. So it was several weeks ago when we had, President Obama was giving a State of the Union address, and that same day in the morning, Russia flew over jets over an island that would be considered part of the military battleground region if a conflict happened between Japan, China, and the United States, and they flew over our island military installation there. And these were very high-powered jets filled with nuclear missiles, and it was a signal, behave yourselves, because if you intrude into this nation, there could be a big conflict. So this North Korean thing is all part of that. There's this massive geopolitical battle going on between Russia, China, India, and a number of other nations. And yeah, there's a globalist elite master plan going on, but it's not a house that's fully under control, and there's intense competition to grab both money and power. And that's what we saw. That's what we're experiencing in this North Korean potential nuke disaster.
Mr. McGuire, if I can kind of set the stage here, let you know from our intelligence and military contacts, what we have been told, and subsequently what I've written about, the articles that have appeared on our website and also CanadaFreePress.com. If I can set the stage and then have you comment on this, here is what was expressed to me in a series of meetings and a series of discussions with my military and intelligence insiders. That was information that was given to both Joe and I, and as we as things kind of matured, the information matured and gelled. What we're seeing right now with North Korea, it's in a way a distraction, but a very dangerous distraction. And I don't want to minimize. People think, well, a distraction is to minimize what's going on. I don't want to do that, but just for a moment, if you can indulge me by the use of the word distraction, perhaps maybe a collateral effect of our actions that have taken place as a result of, number one, the Arab Spring. Obama has this pan-Islamic agenda where we basically are doing the heavy, dirty work on behalf of Saudi Arabia to spread this pan-Islamic agenda and throughout the Middle East. We see it through Arab Spring. And then as things progressed after the downfall of Libya, the CIA, and this has been verified from my contacts, and of course open source, you can verify this, there was not an attack on any consulate or embassy in Benghazi. It was the largest, or one of the largest, CIA logistics hubs in the Middle East that was in the business of running arms from Libya into Syria to get into the hands of the anti-Assad rebels by way of Jordan and by way of Turkey in particular and other countries. So we had this flow of arms. We were actually, or are, and continue to be, arming the anti-Assad rebels. Now, Russia had said, hey, you know what? Don't be messing in Syria. Of course, Syria is Russia's firewall. It's a proxy state of Russia. And it's also the backdoor to Iran. Russia has interests in Iran as well. So does China. And what we're seeing in North Korea is somewhat, in part, in response to our meddling in Syria and the Middle East after being warned, and after Benghazi, which was in response to the arms flow. So we can expect the other shoe to drop in North Korea. And one last thing, and then I'll give you the floor completely, but according to our sources, they're telling us that what's going on in North Korea has three effects. Number one, to spread out our military assets and to strain our military assets, which have already been essentially decimated by the Obama regime. Number two, affect us economically and financially at home. And in addition to, Joe noted as well, through the Arab Spring and our continuing of the pan-Islamic agenda to surround Israel with enemies in addition to everything else. And the third thing, however, is the attack on the dollar, because we now know, and it's been not really widely reported outside of a certain few, but not widely reported in the Western media, that Russia and China have met on economic levels, and they also had conducted this joint surprise exercise together here, all within the last 30 days. So we're seeing essentially the pathway to World War III, the fuse already having been lit, but things are ramping up. I'm not sure if I was concise in my explanation there, but I'll just toss it back to you and for your comments and for your additions or corrections or whatever you want to, however you want to say. But this is what our sources are telling us, essentially.
Well, I think that, Doug, you were concise, and your analysis sounds pretty sound to me. What I would add, and I know that you're aware of it because I've been tuning into your show. We have this backdrop, it actually goes back to Babylon. I know this is going to sound outrageous, but I have to just delve into it because I just have a sense we're going to move very quickly through this program. And a lot of the information might be intense to some of your listeners. Some will be tracking, but we just have to go for it. So we have this backdrop that actually goes back to Babylon, which was the first one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economic system. But let's just put that aside just for the moment. And in fact, we will actually go back further to the pre-flood civilization of Atlantis, because it starts there. And without going totally into the Twilight Zone in three sentences, it actually goes beyond that to Adam and Eve and the fall. Now, having said that, let's move very quickly into the last 100 years. First, we have in the late 1800s, we have the Fabian Socialists, H.G. Wells, the famous science fiction author who wrote War of the Worlds, The Invisible Man, and so forth, and a number of other intellectuals and writers, Bertrand Russell, the mathematician, and the Keynesian economist who you know, spend your way to prosperity. So these intellectuals, in cooperation with the British government behind the scenes, and in cooperation with very, very powerful occult societies, specifically the Illuminati, which was formerly the Rosicrucians and an entire number of powerful occult secret societies that do go back to Babylon. A lot of people are under the mistake that these Fabian socialists, these British intellectualists, because they espouse kind of a socialistic atheism, were really atheists, but that's a complete lie. The reality is that the Fabian socialists were heavily involved in psychic power and the occult and all kinds of things, because the Fabian socialists, it was birthed from the psychic society of Great Britain and the Illuminati. And so they planned out and mapped out very, very scientifically, very geopolitically, and very methodically a master plan to create a one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economic system. And they put down the blueprint. And everything we're seeing now is a follow-through of that blueprint because, for example, they wanted perpetual war and perpetual peace. They wanted and designed and planned for this World War III. Bertrand Russell in the late 1800s talked specifically about Iraq in the Middle East, but he specifically talked about Iraq being the center geographic area of a conflict, and that World War III would emanate out of the Middle East and Israel-Middle East Islamic conflict. At the same time, in the United States, you have the highest-ranking member of the Masonic Society, General Pike, having a vision, and he was a Confederate general, and he had a vision of three world wars. And obviously, he wasn't anywhere near alive at the time of the World War III, which he predicted. He predicted in very precise detail a World War III coming out of the Middle East, and he described what it would be like in such a way that it was almost like he traveled through time. So you have that going on, and that's based in an occult download of information, which is supernatural information accessed from the fourth dimension. And that is scientific and it's real. And people who are skeptical of that need to understand that the relationship between the occult and science, I'm not saying all science, obviously, but a great deal of science, they're fellow travelers. A case in point would be Thomas Edison, who invented just endless amounts of technology from the light bulb and so on and so forth. And he was not an educated man. He didn't go to a university or college. He received the occultic principles taught by Madame Blavatsky, the Russian occult teacher, who basically taught the British Fabian Socialists, the Psychic Society, Adolf Hitler, and the Luciferian Illuminati, many of its founding principles. So Blavatsky taught Edison how to access supernatural downloads from the fourth dimension. And he didn't actually, through some kind of scientific process, come up with the light bulb and the phonograph and all the rest of the stuff he invented. He received that through a kind of spiritual revelation when he would take these naps. And his counterpart, Nikola Tesla, who also received his information through occult practices, Tesla received information that was so powerful, and I know that you're aware of it, is that he was able to access energy anywhere at any time. And with a simple device the size of a shoebox, he walked into a Manhattan skyscraper that was being built. And through the simple vibrations of the instrument in the shoebox, that skyscraper in Manhattan, which was massive, rocked like it was under an earthquake. Now, the big industrialists like Carnegie and Ford and the others met with him because they realized he had accessed unlimited energy, which would have broken up the oil monopoly. And his energy could cause earthquakes. It was the foundation for the HAARP program. It had the not the potential, it creates weather modification. And it's one of the most powerful weapons in the world, and it was made secret by the industrialists in U.S. government. But that's being used anyway, and it was used in Nazi Germany, and a lot of their UFO technology came from that. So going back to, I know this is long-winded, but going back to the Fabian Socialists, they also predicted this World War III. And they knew and planned for a World War III. They knew that there would be weapons of mass destruction and nuclear-type weapons. They didn't have all the details, but they were able to conceive of it quite accurately. And when you read H.G. Wells' books and Aldous Huxley's books and the others, it's mind-blowing to see how accurate they were in terms of a prediction of what the future would hold and a prediction of what the future of science would hold decades, 50 years, 75 years before certain things were actually invented. They were able to project it, to project it. So H.G. Wells predicts this war going on in the Middle East versus Israel. That will usher in their desired one world government, one world economic system, and one world religion based on Illuminati principles. And he speaks specifically of a region in Iraq called Basra, and that Basra would be a global center of the world, like a new one of the capitals of the New World Order. And planet Earth. And how did he know that? I mean, it happens to coincide relatively closely with Bible prophecy, but how did he know that? So here we are, and I just skated the surface of it. Here we are in 2013 seeing the fruition of their master plan. And the point that I want to emphasize to your listeners is everything that you're seeing going on is not an accident. It's not random. The economic crisis did not occur because a bunch of people overinvested in real estate. The potential conflicts that you're seeing are being orchestrated, and the dollar is being deliberately devalued because they and I wrote about this in my book, The Day the Dollar Died, they have to destroy the dollar in order to bring in their one world currency and their one world government. Now, they've set up many target dates for it, and I'm not saying this with a certainty, but their latest target date is to bring in the global currency by 2018, specifically with the name of the Phoenix, which is an occult bird, and it happens to be the bird on the back of the U.S. dollar, which is not an eagle, but it's a phoenix. So I'll just stop there because I don't want to go on eternally on the same answer, long-winded answer to your question.
Well, Mr. McGuire, I got to say this. We have I believe this, based on emails and conversations, we have one of the most educated audiences about just exactly what you're talking about the agenda of the New World Order. So you're, I look at this like a classroom where you're actually speaking to doctoral students as opposed to, you know, the random audience of a AM station listening to Glenn Beck or any of the other political talking heads. not to demean them at all. It's just a different realm here. And I think what you're saying, Mr. McGuire, is, and I have found this to be true. Number one, everything that we're seeing today has been set in motion a long time ago. Number two, that we have a small group of people on this planet who believe that they are, in fact, better than we are, and perhaps they feel that they are, or they believe, I should say, that they are the direct descendants. I mean, the Illuminati, the different bloodlines, so that there's this class of people that will rule us. This is at least from what I'm getting from, believe it or not, from intelligence sources that are confirming this. But most importantly, I think what you pointed out is the economic collapse. The symbols are all around us. It's in our face. It's in our faces, collective faces.
Yeah. With the one world religious, one world government, and one world political system being formed altogether by these Luciferian occult elitists, and they are moving their agenda along, as we can see, as planned. And Mr. McGuire, you talk about a lot of things, and if we could, one of the last videos I watched of yours was talking about the Federal Reserve, the setup of the Federal Reserve, and as my father said, we do have a very intelligent audience, and you know these topics we're talking about tonight is something we talk about on a regular basis, so we're not going to be scaring too many people away by getting into this stuff. The creation of the Federal Reserve that you were speaking of, and we know the Federal Reserve has nothing to do with the government of America. They are not under the authority of the government. Basically, we signed away our own right to print our money, and I'm pretty sure the book you wrote, The Day the Dollar Died, gets into that greatly, and I am looking forward to reading that. From that decision those people made from Jekyll Island, and something you said in the video is if you believe the Council on Foreign Relations or the Bilderberg groups are just think tanks, you're being delusioned. Can you expand on that, on how these how the spirit of the Antichrist has moved its agenda through generations of people, through these elitists, into where we are today from maybe 100 years ago with the wars, and how it is fitting in with Bible prophecy to where we are today and how short time it is?
Yeah, I would, in a short sentence, you said?
No, in how short
time. Okay. Because I wouldn't be able to. I'll be glad to do that. And I want to say that I'd been hearing about your show for quite some time from people emailing me, raving about it, and people telling me, you know, I hope they eventually invite you on as a guest. And I was delighted to get the invitation. And when I began hearing more and more and more about your show, I mean a lot about your show, it seems that at a certain point, you guys have just rocketed through the amount of listeners you've attracted, and you've hit some kind of critical mass where it's exploded. And as I read in some of your reports, you know, you are one of the most cutting-edge programs that is out there. So literally, my wife is next to me as I'm doing this interview, and I told her, I said, you know, basically, put on your safety belt, because this audience, this is a different kind of audience, and this is not going to be a light program. You know, it's going to be intense. So I suspected your audience was up to speed, and I'm glad to hear confirmation of it. The Federal Reserve System, I don't think I need to really re-explain that to your audience, but essentially our money supply, our America's money was stolen illegally by a non-constitutional act called the Federal Reserve Act. And when that occurred, a cartel of international bankers headed up by Rothschild and others met on Jekyll Island, and they conspired to seize control of our money supply. They had a twofold plan. They simply called it by different names, but they were going to push it through the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. It really didn't matter. And then what happened was they took control of our economic system. And what many people don't know, and I've done countless numbers of debates on the Fox News Network and CNN, and by God's providence, I've ended up debating some of the biggest economists in the world, which was a surprise to me. Many of them are the editors of the biggest financial publications, like the publishers and chief editors of the Wall Street Journal and so on and so forth, and then some of the big international banks, representatives for the international banks. So I would debate these people, and I began to realize very quickly that the hosts of the show, and any show you go on, you can talk about the Federal Reserve endlessly, but there's an unspoken rule where you don't cross the line and actually expose it for what it is. Even if you do it delicately, it's the unpardonable sin, and you will find your mic cut off, and they will thank you and get rid of you. So I learned that very quickly, and I realized there's no way in the world they're going to allow me to cross over that line. And I realized that the people I was talking to, in some respects, despite their position and their wealth and their affluence, are just plain stupid and clueless. And then there's the other number who most probably know all about it and realize that to talk about it in the open, that their career is over. So they recognize the unspoken rule and don't talk about it. But what a lot of people don't understand is our government is not allowed to look at their budget. It's not allowed to know the members of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has no accountability whatsoever to the U.S. government or we the people in the United States of America. And everybody knows he who controls the money controls the nation. So a international cartel of bankers with no loyalty to America and no willingness to abide to the Constitution hijacked our economic system, began printing our money, banking, they control interest rates, and so on and so forth. And so the economic demise that you saw during the Great Depression and economic problems you're seeing now were created by the Federal Reserve. And that Federal Reserve Act and the process of actually getting it up to speed occurred, you know, from around 1913 to 1916 to fully establish that. And I want to read a quote that I put in my book, The Day the Dollar Died. And this is, I chose this quote because it was from Robert Heinlein, the famous science fiction writer who wrote so many huge best-selling books in the golden age of science fiction. Many have been made into movies, like the best-selling book Stranger in a Strange Land, Starship Troopers, which was ruined as a movie because of the director's hostility against Heinlein's philosophy, but the book was good and is read by the military. So anyway, Robert Heinlein, the science fiction author, said, quote, "Every congressman, every senator knows precisely what causes inflation, but can't, won't support the drastic reforms to stop it. Repeal the Federal Reserve Act, because it could cost him his job and probably his life." Now, that was a comment from a science fiction writer. And then we read a quote from Thomas Jefferson, which is equally as revealing. And Jefferson writes, because the bankers of the Federal Reserve were right there in 1776, trying to take over the America through the international banks and the Illuminati, which was officially born in 1776, the same time America was established, those international banks were trying to seize control of our money supply and nation from the first day America began. And so President Thomas Jefferson said, if the American people, and this was a warning, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent that their fathers conquered. Now that is a, despite what people think of Jefferson and his philosophy, that was a prophetic warning issued to this nation by a secular man. And yet, the founders, the founding fathers, many of them, not all of them, many were secretly members of the Illuminati, like Benjamin Franklin, where there's very serious evidence to support that he was involved in satanic worship. In fact, he was a member of the famous Hellfire Club in England, which still exists today, and the Hellfire Club, basically, it was a bunch of incredibly bizarre sexual orgies mixed with ritual, open satanic worship, and Franklin participated in that. So he was hardcore in the occult. But the thing is, here's a secular man, Thomas Jefferson, warning us. Now, the father of the First Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, and others like him, who were set on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit, and I want to get into this later, so you don't need science to confirm what the Bible says is true. The Bible is true whether or not science agrees with it. And eventually science usually ends up agreeing with the Bible. For example, Darwinian evolution is the most idiotic con job. Only somebody with the IQ of a moron would accept that theory, and yet that's the predominant theory in our nation. But Jonathan Edwards, the spiritual father of the First Great Awakening, would preach these biblical sermons. One is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, which I have printed in one of my books, and it's on my website that people can read for free at either paulmaguire.com or paulmaguire.org. And this is like a 35-page sermon, and it lasted about an hour. And he spoke to the people in a quiet monotone. There was no emotionalism. But when you read his sermon, it is the most graphic, pictorial sermon describing in great detail what hell would be like. I mean, it is a fire and brimstone sermon. But Edwards was an intellectual genius. He knew multiple languages. He was a biblical scholar so far beyond the scholarship of evangelical scholars today. And, you know, he knew the classics. He knew the great philosophers. He was a deeply educated man, and his sons went on to found universities like Princeton and Harvard. And all of them, by the way, unlike today's contemporary evangelical preachers, all of them were fully aware of the reality of the Illuminati. None of them dismissed it as a conspiracy theory, and that included the father of the Second Great Awakening also. So these men, at the beginning of America, far more educated than the preachers of today, far more biblical and intellectual in every sense of the word, they understood fully the implications of the Illuminati and their relationship to the banking system and their plot to control America. It's just the modern evangelical Christians who have been dumbed down to the point of, you have preachers like I forgot his name, Joel Osteen and his wife, who get on Larry King and mock fire and brimstone preachers. Well, Jesus Christ was a fire and brimstone preacher. The Apostle John was a fire and brimstone preacher. And Edwards, the father of the First Great Awakening, was a fire and brimstone preacher. that kind of preaching is not to manipulate people into fear. It is to theoretically, intelligently present the reality of each person's accountability before the supreme being of the universe. And if you choose to break his laws and violate his laws and rebel against him, and God forbid that you should choose to worship Lucifer, as everybody in the higher tiers of the Illuminati have pledged to do, you're going to go into a very real place called hell. That's a deterrent against, you know, in terms of, let's call it spiritual psyops, that's a very powerful weapon in the spiritual warfare to keep people on the straight and narrow. Anyway, back to the present-day control of the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve System has now printing our money, and it controls America. And everything you see in the world, the wars, the whole systematic destruction of America, and America is designed to be destroyed, has been done by the Illuminati and the international bankers. And the final point I want to make on this, and this is something that people really, really need to grasp if they haven't already, and that is that the international bankers are directly, from their very inception, they have been in union with occult forces and the Illuminati. They go hand in hand, and there's massive historical documentation to prove this to somebody who's skeptical. So that plan is being worked at now in our nation, and as you know, it's a very dangerous plan.
You know what, Mr. McGuire, I have to say this. In my research of our current predicament, our current situation, once again, I'm just relying on my research from my experience for the last 30 years as an investigator. And everything that I've found, you know, and I've constantly told people, for example, documentation in books, for example, Eustace Mullins, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, you know, Pawns in the Game. That was written back in the 50s, I believe, was by William Guy Carr. You know, all of the Skousen, Klingon Skousen books, Naked Capitalist, Naked Truth, and None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen.
Yes.
That'll give people like a good background. But I think that there today there's this mental, and you just pointed this out, and I think this is so important, there's this mental disconnect with people that what we're seeing today is the actual, the architecture of what we're seeing today is rooted in pure evil. And
right.
The Illuminati, and you know, when you mention people, these pastors that are teaching Christian 2.0 or Christianity light, if you will, it's not by accident. It's not, I mean, it's a method to reprogram the believers.
There'll be the Department of Homeland Security and our own government warning that people who teach or believe in end-time prophecies are a possible, that's a possible indicator of domestic extremism or domestic terrorism.
Right.
Exactly. And we could, I mean, we could probably talk for not 3 hours, but 3 days, because this involves, you know, the mind control. And one of the things, I'm just going to glance on this very briefly, touch this very briefly, but one of the most insane things, I thought it was just totally insane. When you were talking about the Federal Reserve just moments ago here, in my research, the background of the Federal Reserve, and I don't know whether you heard this or not, I'm sure you have, but one thing that was that really struck me, for example, was during that period of time prior to the creation of the Fed and the money men from Europe and whatever, I got into this aspect of the Titanic versus the Olympic, and I won't get into the into the conspiracy itself, but you know, I even doubt to this point whether we have been told the truth, for example, about which ship sank, or even if it was a Titanic, if it was an accident or not, because isn't it convenient that we saw the opposition to the Fed, at least the legitimate and most viable opposition to the creation of the Fed here in the United States, go down with the ship. I mention that as an aside, just because whether people want to believe that or research that further, it just shows to me, again, from an investigative standpoint, how many twists and turns, and these people will stop at nothing to accomplish their goals. And it, one last thing, and then I'll turn it back to you, sir. I was amazed, too, at how the Illuminati uses the King James Bible as their outline for their plans. I mean, they're using the King James version of the Bible, the translation of the Bible, as their outline. I'm not sure if I expressed that properly, but you know, in the fulfillment or their intended fulfillment of their world conquest. So having said that, people who are looking at, in my view, people who are looking and trying to reconcile in their minds today about what's taking place, if you don't go back into history and if you don't understand what was taking place a generation ago, a decade ago, 100 years ago, you're really not going to get the full picture of really what's going on today. And I think you do a great job in really setting that foundation through your lectures and through your writings.
Well, I appreciate that. And something I want to add for people that are listening, and I always have to add this, because people need to understand that everything that I'm talking about now, every inch of territory that I've just covered, that I initially rejected it. I was antagonistic against it. I didn't think it was true. And I was extremely skeptical. I'm not a gullible person by nature. So every paragraph of what I said, I had to intellectually fight from complete disbelief and skepticism. I had to do an enormous amount of research to find out if it was true. And then, you know, I would have to restrict the research to what I considered credible sources, because there are a lot of sources that are not credible. And so it was only after I found credible proof, original historic documents and quotes, original source documents, original statements and reports, then I went through the transformation process of realizing this isn't, you know, some wacko conspiracy theory. This is truth. And so at first I was very impatient with people, you know, who would look at you like a deer in the headlights, you know, just like a zombie. The Lord began to deal with my heart and say, look, Paul, it took you 35 years to get where you are in terms of understanding. And on every step of the way, every time you would hit a major point of breakthrough, you resisted it, you rejected it, and you didn't think it was true. And when you began to really do the research, it was only then that it opened up to you. You mentioned the book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, by Gary Allen. I grew up in New York City. I was demonstrating with the radical activist Abby Hoffman when I was 15 years old. I was hanging out with Timothy Leary and Ken Kesey on St. Mark's Place in Central Park. I was part of the counterculture. I happened to be in the very center of the East Coast counterculture. I began to get involved in the New Age movement because I came from an atheistic family, and I was looking for answers. I read a book by Aldous Huxley called Heaven and Hell on the Doors of Perception, where he advocated the use of taking a psychedelic drug, mescaline, to travel through the doors of perception, which is why the rock and roll group, the Doors, named their name, the Doors. And so I took mescaline as part of an amateur high school experiment, not just to get high, to go through the doors of perception. And that is a whole story in and of itself. So the point is, I don't come from a Christian background. I come from an atheistic background. And so I really had to have proof on all of this stuff. And when I began to really investigate it, I found the proof. But I'm trying to decide which direction to go into. I think I'll avoid for this moment the truth about, well, there's amazing parallels. What happened in Nazi Germany is almost a mirror of what's happening in the United States of America. The first question we have to ask is, why did the evangelical church in Nazi Germany not have the most minimal spiritual discernment to recognize that the man that they elected into office and enthusiastically promoted was not only personally deeply involved in the occult, but that the Third Reich, and this was open knowledge, that the Third Reich, from its inception, was not a political party first, it was an occult party, and it was the occult secret societies of Germany and Europe that used their muscle and power and influence to put Hitler into power. So having known that, why would the church not know that this man was on the side of great evil? And on top of that, why did they not just have the spiritual discernment from the Holy Spirit to recognize that this man was demon-possessed? And instead, they worshipped him as a savior. The evangelical church worshipped Adolf Hitler as a savior. Now, how did the evangelical church get into such a deteriorated spiritual condition that they lost all ability to discern the obvious? And the reason they became so weak spiritually that they could not recognize an antichrist figure is because for numerous generations, the biblical faith of the evangelical Christians was systematically being torn apart by what was called the German schools of theological higher criticism, which basically ripped the true faith of the Bible out of the hearts of individual Christians, denominations, seminaries, and pastors. And in a broad sweep, these schools of theological criticism said that there was no miracles, that the Bible was not the inspired and errant word of God, Christ did not resurrect, there was no heaven and hell, so on and so forth. So these schools programmed these Christians into complete atheism and unbelief. Therefore, they were spiritually dead. And then we know the consequences of what happened when this occult takeover occurred. The current healthcare plan is based on Adolf Hitler's T4 healthcare plan that he put into effect immediately after he was elected. This is not a new healthcare plan. Hitler already did it. Now, So 6 or 7 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust in the camps. There's a whole reason for that. That is both occultic in nature, and it goes back to the creation of a race of God-man, which goes all the way back to Babylon. And then we look at America, and we see I believe that the spiritual condition of the majority of the evangelical church in America today is exactly in the same spiritual condition as the evangelical church in Nazi Germany. They have no spiritual discernment. They don't have a biblical worldview. And it's my personal opinion that if the Antichrist walked into the majority of evangelical churches in America, including the majority of the megachurches, and there are some notable exceptions, that if the Antichrist himself walked into those churches, he would be applauded enthusiastically as probably the best preacher they ever heard. That is how deteriorated and deceived that the church is in America. And the danger of that is that unless they wake up spiritually, they will follow the biblical model that begins in the Old Testament over and over and over again, is that they will go into a horrible captivity. I do not believe that that is the will of God. And before we continue any further, having said everything that I have said, I just want to insert this brief idea, which hopefully we can pick up on later, and that is I do not believe that God is finished with America yet. I think it's weighing in the balance. But I believe that if the people of God truly repent, not playing church repent, but truly repent and seek God, that if they do that, God will enable them through the power of his Spirit to access the most powerful force in the universe, the same force that resurrected Christ from the dead, the dunamis, being clothed from power with on high. Now, if a significant statistical percentage begin to seriously repent and get in synchronization with God's laws, the power that I remarked about of Nikola Tesla, the scientific discussions of the fourth dimension, the occult power that was harnessed by the Nazis called the Vril Force, which was an actual energy force that they used, and all the occult powers of the Illuminati and Madame Blavatsky, et cetera, which are very much at work in our world and nation today, that when the church or believers come into the appropriate synchronization with the Supreme Being or the infinite personal living God of the universe, what happens is that there's a portal from heaven, a transmission line, if you will, of his divine energy that comes down with a power so great that there is no human words to describe it. And when that power is released into the earth, and we've seen countless biblical examples of that, a simple one would be the power that came upon David to slaughter Goliath. And Goliath was a type of the Antichrist, and David was a type of Christ. But what enabled the shepherd boy with no experience as a warrior to kill a giant? And it was he accessed the kind of power that we're talking about. What caused the 13 American colonies to rock with the power of God? And despite all the Illuminati influence, there's tremendous Christian input in the balance of powers and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. What unleashed that power that moved through Jonathan Edwards and others, that shook this nation with a spiritual violence that was good? Well, they accessed that power. So that power, you could say on a scientific basis, comes from the fourth dimension. But believers have the ability to access that. And when it comes down, it will rock this nation. And the only way I can describe it is the Manhattan Project was this race to build an atomic bomb before the Nazis. And they assembled their scientists and they went for it. They pursued it. Now, that was a destructive weapon, and it released enormous...
Yeah, Paul?
Yeah.
Paul, let me stop you right there. That's a good stopping point.
Sure.
We're kind of late for the top of the hour break, which
okay.
is going to be about three and a half minutes.
Right.
We'll be back on the other side. Folks, you're listening to Mr. Paul McGuire, internationally renowned author, spokesperson. What an incredible guest. And I want to say hello. I just received notice that servicemen and women from Talil Sidar Sk- Castanias, DCMA Southern Iraq Satellite Office, listening to us live where it's 4 a.m. there. God bless you folks. Thank you for your service. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Thursday, April 4th edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are blessed to be joined by our very special guest today, Mr. Paul McGuire. You can find him at paulmcguire.com or paulmcguire.org. The last name is McGuire, and he is the author of several books. He has been a correspondent on Fox Business, talking with some of the other talking heads out there. And this gentleman is far from a talking head. He is a warrior in Christ, and his work is shows the fruit of that. And he has many excellent articles and video sermons, as you can find on the internet, on his site, on YouTube, all over the place. With that, we're going to bring back Mr. Paul McGuire, and where he stopped talking on the end of the first hour was the power of the American colonies and how they came to such power. Mr. McGuire, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Okay. Where you left off at the first hour, if I'm not mistaken, you were talking about the 13 colonies and the power that they had and were given, I'm going to assume it's safe to say, through their Judeo-Christian values and principles that they were carrying, and how, as a people, they were united under the Lord as a reason for the increase in their ability and power and the rise of America.
Yes, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to continue on with that. So I'm going to try to make this as succinct as possible. But briefly going back to scientific discoveries, and as I said earlier, I don't think, I know that I don't need or science to prove to me the accuracy of the Bible, because science has constantly changed its mind. However, when I see an enormous amount of information being discovered in the areas of quantum physics, string theory, multi-dimensions, the fourth dimension, scalar technology, where people have now theorized on the basis of physics the existence of a fourth dimension, which the Bible has been talking about as the spiritual world or the invisible world since the beginning of creation. And scientists are recognizing that it is possible. They're recognizing that this life is not based on the sensory information, and we don't really live in truth in a three-dimensional world. We, in reality, live in a multidimensional world, and one of those dimensions is the fourth dimension. And scientists involved in quantum physics and discoveries with scalar technology and other things realize that we can pull energy and information and power out of the fourth dimension. We can transfer it out of the fourth dimension and use it in this physical world, whether it's like Tesla's energy or advanced information of any kind. It can be transferred out of the fourth dimension, and it can change reality in the three dimensions. And so there's a ability based on scientific discoveries to transfer back and forth stuff out of the fourth dimension and then from this dimension into the fourth dimension. And the fourth dimension, in a sense, is almost a cosmic vibrational blueprint of which creates physical reality, which is essentially what the Bible has said in different terminology. Now, starting from the scientific viewpoint, it substantiates precisely what Christ was talking about when he was teaching his disciples how to access massive power from another dimension. He used terms, of course, like faith and belief and childlike faith and miracles, but he was essentially talking in a popular matter about very advanced scientific stuff. Now, I found that it's a stumbling block to me and to a lot of people. If you think of spiritual power and the scientific nature of spiritual power from a religious mindset, it's going to inhibit you from grasping the full reality of it, because the religious mindset and what we see playing out before us in terms of what calls itself the Church of Jesus Christ, again, there are notable exceptions, but for the most part, those individuals and groups that call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ are in reality a grotesque distortion of what was the original cosmic blueprint. And that is why, in many cases, people are offended by Christians and Christian teaching. Some of it has to do with rebellion and an allegiance to evil, but some of it has to do with the fact that people with intellectual sensibilities and sensitivities look at something that is grotesque, like they can tell the difference between Velveeta cheese and real cheese, and the evangelical community is shoving Velveeta cheese down their throat, and a secular culture is saying, no, we don't want that. It's hideous. But they're not rejecting Christ in many cases. They're rejecting the distortion. So if you make an analysis or an appraisal of the ability to access awesome power from another dimension, if you look at it in religious terms, it's going to inhibit you from grasping it. So I found that by looking at it from scientific terms and then correlating the latest discoveries in science, not that it's necessary, but by correlating the two with the teachings of Christ, with what is going on in the book of Revelation, going back to creation, you begin to realize that the Illuminati, Nazi Germany, which, you know, they built UFO technology. They created these flying machines. They created mind control technology and genetic technology for the purpose of producing a race, a God race, which was exactly why Adam and Eve got thrown out of the Garden of Eden, because the appeal from the serpent Lucifer is, you shall be as gods. So the Nazis were involved in the occult, and it was through mediums and occult practices that they accessed from the fourth dimension advanced technology, UFO technology, rocketry, the basic designs for an atomic bomb, and many other things. And that's why Crowley, the famous Satanist, was very involved with both Great Britain and the Nazis. And it's why at the end of World War II, when we were in competition with Russia for Nazi rocket scientists and mind control scientists, we brought over about 4,000 Nazi rocket scientists and mind control scientists, which ended up heading some of our biggest think tanks, etc. Now, here's the important thing to grasp about the Nazi rocket scientists. The most famous would be Wernher von Braun, who was connected to Aleister Crowley, by the way. And Wernher von Braun was the disciple of Jack Parsons, who was the real founder of JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And Wernher von Braun, America's most famous rocket scientist, who helped to found NASA and other things, he actually named Jack Parsons as the father of America's rocket program. And yet Jack Parsons was an uneducated man, relatively speaking, who received his advanced scientific information about how to build sophisticated rocket fuel formulas that were far, far more advanced than anything American scientists were able to achieve on their own initiative, including John Goddard, who was originally the founder of the American rocket program. So Wernher von Braun knew that Parsons was a disciple of Aleister Crowley. They shared the same satanic religion and a belief in the Vril Force. And in summary, Jack Parsons was downloading from the fourth dimension through the use of spiritual power. He gained the scientific and technical information necessary to build our rocket program. Now, what people don't know is that Wernher von Braun and the other Nazi rocket scientists on the island of Peenemünde, that these men were not just rocket scientists. Wernher von Braun, from his very early days, was also deeply involved in the Nazi occult belief system. And he was also deeply involved in the Nazi mind control system. And it has to be noted that both the technology of Nazi rocket science and the technology of modern scientific mind control both have its roots in the occult and were downloaded by mediums and other occult mechanisms. And this is quite common. It goes all the way back to the building of the Tower of Babel. Nimrod had supernatural intelligence. He, in my opinion, was a Nephilim. The Tower of Babel was the first one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economic system. The Nazi game plan was to build a race of godmen, and so that they had advanced science in genetics. And this race for godmen is in correlation with Jesus' warning, as it was in the days of Noah, so it would be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, where he was referring to the mating of fallen angels with human women producing the Nephilim. Well, the Nazis understood this. Nimrod in Babylon understood this. And the secret occult societies have known this since the beginning of time. It goes back to Atlantis. Now, I know I'm hopping all over the place, but people need to understand that when the MK Ultra project brought in the 4,000 Nazi scientists into the U.S., we have three very fast-growing fields of science. Number one is, everybody knows computer science has grown exponentially in the last two decades. It's a miracle of technology. Number two, biotechnology, genetic engineering, DNA, has grown exponentially in the last number of decades. But it began with things like the Rockefeller program and the Nazi genetic program. But the third science that has grown astronomically, that most people don't realize, is the science of modern mind control, which is at such a sophisticated level that it could be only understood by the average person by thinking in terms of science fiction, because it's so far beyond what people think it is. And that is one of the reasons why people all over the United States and other nations can look at a reality, can look at a situation, can look at something that should be obvious to natural perception and natural analytic abilities, and they cannot see the obvious. A great deal of that has to do with the advanced scientific and occult mind control that is being employed at a level that the vast majority of people cannot begin to conceive of. Having said that, I want to go back to the founding of the United States of America. America, there was a spiritual warfare for America at its very founding. We had the Great Awakening, we had the Illuminati and the occult forces, we had fervent lovers and committed Christians of God who engaged in a covenant with God, like the Pilgrims and Puritans, and dedicated this nation to God. And we had many godly men influence our beginning Constitution and Bill of Rights and so on and so forth, and the checks and balances of government. So, but the spiritual warfare was, we also had founding fathers who were secretly members of occult secret societies and the Illuminati. And then when we go to the mid-1600s, we have Sir Francis Bacon, who was a leader in the Rosicrucian movement, which goes back to Babylon, and the Rosicrucian movement eventually became the Illuminati. So in the mid-1600s, Sir Francis Bacon used his considerable influence to plan for the nation that would be called America, and it was his plan to make America, in his words, the new Atlantis, which would go back to the pre-flood civilization called Atlantis, which had scientific knowledge that was so far advanced from today's society, it could only have been accessed from a different dimension. So he planned for the United States of America to be the new Atlantis, and he also planned for the United States of America to be the center of the New World Order. So this is the historical flow of the Illuminati from Babylon, and the continual theme is access to supernatural power and information from a fourth dimension. So we had this spiritual battle at the beginning of the United States of America, and the if people want evidence, the most blatant, in-your-face archaeological, not archaeological, architectural evidence of what I'm talking about is you merely go to Washington, D.C., you see the Washington Monument, which is a phallic symbol that comes from Babylon. It is essentially, and I don't mean to be crude, it's an architectural representation of Nimrod's penis, the phallic symbol, and the dome is an architectural representation of the ancient Babylonian religion. Nimrod's wife was Semiramis, who was a whore, and the architecture of the Capitol dome represents her womb. So we have a womb and we have a phallic symbol. Now, there's a reason why it was designed that way. Why would the United States of America, a Christian nation, have such a blatant Babylonian occult symbolism in its architecture? You can't miss it. And then you look at the Vatican, and architecturally, it's a mirror of Washington, D.C., with a phallic symbol and St. Peter's Basilica, where you have the dome also. So, having said all that, you see the battle between the Illuminati and Judeo-Christian thought and believers. Now we go 200 years further into history where we are right now, and this battle has escalated to a level beyond anything anyone can conceive of, because it has now become a last days, end times battle, and you are seeing that which is hidden revealed. And what that basically means is that you're seeing a downloading of information and technology through occult sources that is taking us to a level that has not existed on the face of the earth since Atlantis. And in the realm of God's kingdom, you have what many Christians don't realize is that God's people move into the end days. God had already pre-planned not only for them to be here, but he pre-planned for them to be downloaded with additional power and with additional information. And the emphasis shouldn't always be on Luciferian power. People need to understand that right as we're speaking, God is downloading supernaturally power that is connected with scientific reality and so on and so forth, that the dunamis power of God, which comes directly from the throne room of God, which means it supersedes and overarches Luciferian authority, is being poured down in a quantum download upon any individual listening to your radio program who is willing to suspend their pseudo-intellectualism and to suspend their skepticism and to come to the Creator like a little child. And if they'll come to the Creator like a little child in open and trusting innocence, the Supreme Being, the infinite personal living God of the universe, will begin to not only place himself in the center of their being, birthing in them the new man and the new woman, of which Lucifer has a counterfeit, but he will begin to, as we're speaking now, and I mean that literally, he is downloading information. If people will come to God and open their hearts with the faith of a little child, they will begin to receive a download that will equip them with knowledge and wisdom and power, actually power. Power that has an explosive effect. The word dunamis means dynamite. It has the effect of an explosive power moves like a sonic boom through the fourth dimension in the invisible realm, shattering Luciferian kingdoms all over the world. But in order for it to work, God's people must come under divine synchronization with the Lord. And David did that, and many others have done that. I know that was long-winded. I hope I was coherent.
Very much so, Mr. McGuire. And I've got to just say this to everyone listening. what Mr. McGuire is talking about it very concisely is really a summation of the various programs that we have done and some of the monologues that I've done over the past couple of weeks. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to redirect your attention back to HomelandSecurityUS.com. Put this in the back of your mind. And we had I published an article entitled Life as an Investigator is Like a Box of Chocolates. The information Mr. McGuire is giving to you right now coincides with this article more than you know. Read that again, download it, whatever you need to do, but study that article, because what Mr. McGuire is saying is the battle, and perhaps I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what we're seeing taking place right now is we are fighting. Well, number one, we're fighting an enemy on not only the earthly plane, but obviously the spiritual plane. We are being given ammunition by God to fight as Christians or as a body of the church, the remnant, to fight the battle. But I think, have just done a marvelous job in very concise method of really outlining the battle and what we need to do. We need to be plugged in as the body of God's church. But you've covered so much ground here. And for those listening, please re-listen to this broadcast more than once, because there is so much information here. What we're talking about, this is for all the marbles, ladies and gentlemen. What Mr. McGuire is saying, this is for all the marbles. We are in the fight for our spiritual lives here. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, what we're seeing right now, we are seeing, Mr. McGuire, the fight for our spiritual lives. I mean,
I completely agree with what you're saying. And people don't. I'm sure a majority of your listeners do, but across the land and across the world, people don't realize that we, in my opinion, are at the most significant hour of all of human history, because the decisions we're going to make right now will affect the future. This, for whatever reason, you and I are talking, and you've come to this realization, and many others have also, but for whatever reason, this moment in history, as you just said, is the turning point. And if we fail to recognize that it's now that is the turning point, where things can be changed, and we move past that through ignorance, I'm afraid that it will be too late.
No, I totally agree with that. And I think the relevance here, and people, from my investigative viewpoint, people say, well, what is something that happened thousands of years ago have to do with what's going on today? Well, it has everything to do with today. And you mentioned something that caught my attention here. You were talking about the, as in the days of Noah. I'm particularly interested in the fact that, and I'm probably not going to say this properly, but if you can translate this for me, Mr. McGuire, we have a group of people on this planet that believe that they are superior to us, that they believe that they're the descendants of they're descendants of God, but not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
There was a cosmic misunderstanding, as they were taught, and they were put on this earth, and that the teachings of the regular useless eaters, as they call us, we're the ones that are screwed up, and they're the ones that are right, when they are the ones that are being driven by their own delusions and the spirit of delusions that is given to them, where they do believe that Lucifer is the true God. And as you stated, Mr. McGuire, in a lot of your teachings about the one world religion, the New World Order, and how that focuses around the UN and their agenda, they, I'm not sure if you're familiar with David Spangler. He was the
yes, I am.
Worked at the UN as the director of the Planetary Initiative, something along those lines, where he said no one will be able to enter the New World Order unless he or she takes the Luciferian initiation. And
right.
You go back to the teachings of Bailey and Crowley and Madame Blavatsky. This is where the New Age movement comes into effect here. And if we can get into the New Age aspect
and the Green Movement and the feminist, I mean, all of these various 20th century perversions of normal life really stems, in my view, stems from this mindset that is pretty much akin to Lucifer, this Luciferian mindset, which, you know, again, I'm probably, this is really summarizing a longer conversation, but I think that that's where we're coming from.
Yeah, goes back to Nimrod, spirit of the Antichrist, all the way up to the New Age. And go ahead, Mr. McGuire.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And on my websites, paulmcguire.com and paulmcguire.org, I have a lot of free articles and YouTubes, and we have books and DVDs and stuff, so if people want to check it out, and a blog site with very intensive researched articles there. People can read them for free. I suggest they visit it, because this could be information overload. So bringing all this up to date with people like Barbara Marx Hubbard and those that consider themselves part of this Luciferian elite, and it very simply, and I know your listeners are very familiar with it, but, you know, the back of the dollar bill has the pyramid, the occult power structure. The top of the pyramid, the little itsy-bitsy pyramid, is the Luciferian elite, the Pharaoh kings, the godmen, the Illuminati or whatever. That happens to be an Illuminati symbol. And they are the rulers of the coming Luciferian era, or the new aeon that Aleister Crowley named it, A-E-O-N, and Barbara Marx Hubbard and others have called it by other names. It was talked about in the Aquarian conspiracy in great detail. So at the base of the pyramid, you see the masses of slaves, and that's you and I. We're the useless eaters, just like in Pharaoh's time, we're the slaves of the god kings. And then, of course, the self-evident statement at the base of the pyramid is Nuvos Ordo Seclorum, New Order of the Ages, or New World Order. So they're saying exactly what the game plan is. And that's how they are right now intentionally restructuring planet Earth. Because Blavatsky taught, and Alice Bailey taught, that the enlightened ones, as they refer to themselves, or the externalization of the hierarchy and other terms that they used, they planned very carefully for those elite leaders, Luciferian elite leaders, to take control of the financial system, the banking system, the education system, the political system, and so on and so forth. And they've been doing this for quite a long time. In fact, communism, with its very sophisticated organizational ability and propaganda ability, and the communists themselves actually used the term fourth dimension in a congressional hearing, took over the mindset of America by multi-generational infiltration. But what people need to understand is that behind the communist organizational system is the Illuminati, because the Communist Manifesto is almost word for word a copy of the Illuminati Manifesto that was written about 75 years before the Communist Manifesto. So the Communist revolution, which is pushing us towards this one world socialistic government, behind it all is an occult organization. And what they want is, they have specifically targeted, and they've basically succeeded, the destruction of the family, because that's God's institution, the confusion of gender identities, male and female, because that was God's creation. They have promoted sexual perversion, because that's the breaking of God's laws. But they're very intelligent from an occult standpoint and from a psychological standpoint, because simple things like getting teenagers to be sexually active, that on a psychological level severs the ties, the deep psychological ties between the father and the children and the mother and the children, and by making the children simply sexually active, it severs those deep psychological ties and destroys the family, as does the promotion of sexual perversion, which is planned and intended. And when people look at the availability of pornography all over the internet, you'd be very naive to think that this is simply a business scheme. Pornography interfaces with the human brain like a needle full of cocaine or methamphetamine, and it rewires the mind. So they've also, the reason they want to get rid of homeownership is not simply for economic reasons. They understand on a very sophisticated level and psychological level that when you sever a person psychologically from being a homeowner, you kind of send them out into the middle of the lake with a rowboat with no oars. They're disconnected. They have no psychological stake in ownership, and it destroys the system. And then the final blow is that everywhere you look, and Ian Rand talked about this in her books, Atlas Shrugged and so on, and I don't agree with everything Ian Rand said. I think she was completely way off in a lot of areas. But she did have a few good things to say, and she warned in her movies and books that the goal is to destroy the individual and individuality and make everybody a slave in the pyramid, where it's all about the collective, it's all about the team, it's all about synthesis, it's all about groupthink, and people are being psychologically indoctrinated to fear becoming an individuality, and they're being programmed to see their identity submerged as part of a group, and that's how you exercise total control over a society. That's the Luciferian pyramid structure being organized on a psychological level, and that's what we're seeing. Individualism is under assault, and you see it in the so-called church growth movement, which has direct ties to the funding by the Dulles brothers, the head of the CIA, with Rockefeller at the end of World War II, at the end of World War I, where they realized that the League of Nations, the first trial run in a one-world government, failed because there was too many evangelical Christians in our nation at that time who really knew the Bible and understood Bible prophecy. And so the Rockefellers and the Dulles brothers understood that in order to create their one-world system, they would have to infiltrate the church, and they began that around 1917, 1918, 1919. And then they've spent hundreds and hundreds, well, probably billions of dollars by now. That financing stream is still continuing today. And so when you hear somebody like Rick Warren get up there and you analyze his program carefully, and you hear him say in one of his major tenets that, and I'm paraphrasing, that we need to eradicate all powerful or egocentric leadership from the church. And at first pass, that sounds very Christian-like, that we don't have any strong individuals that might have strong egos, and we're going to eradicate them from the church. That's a key tenet in his program. But when you review that at a deeper level, you realize that Warren, whether he's conscious or unconscious of it, is systematically acting as an agent of the psychological methodology where you destroy individual leadership, because individual leadership is strong leadership, and strong leadership based on individuality produces a King David or the heroic personality who is able to go against a demonic system because he has not surrendered to groupthink. So you realize that what Warren is really calling for is the character assassination of the strong individualistic leader and replace him with a feminine pastor whose personality is passive, compliant, and he is part of the collective or part of groupthink.
And ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing is not just another take on this Illuminati agenda, but it's the practical application being spoken by Mr. Paul McGuire here as to what's taking place today. This Illuminati cabal, this Luciferian mindset, this agenda of manipulation, the Illuminati is mindful of its final moments to realize their goal, and their goal is the total control of our eternal wisdom state through a new world order, a new age of reason.
Right.
And this is designed to manifest itself through this three-dimensional experience that we call life, for example. So I believe what you're saying, sir, is that you've got the actual people, the power, the core of these Illuminists and Luciferians, and then you've got these useful idiots, for lack of a better term, you know, that are pushing this agenda, thinking at the end that they're going to have a seat at this table when, in fact, they're going to be used as fodder for this. I love this because Steve Quayle is a guest of ours and Pastor David Langford, and we touch on these subjects, but you really put it in concise perspective that we're seeing here. And folks, realize this Illuminati pyramid, this Luciferian group of thinkers that manipulate this Illuminati pyramid through this process of hypnotic mind control, this deep trance state. Folks, these are the elite royal bloodlines that control world affairs. How it applies today, you're seeing institutions like the Vatican, where we're seeing right now the duality of things take place in the Vatican, the monarchy, especially the monarchy, the London City, the United Nations, NATO, World Bank, World Health Organizations, you name it, Club of Rome, CFR, Trilateral, and so on and so forth. All of these organizations, even down to the Watchtower Society, the Jehovah Witnesses, and Greenpeace, for crying out loud, all of these are working in concert to or either manipulating or being manipulated by this Luciferian agenda. So to identify it, we have to be able to identify it, to defeat it, or at least throw the monkey, because we know how the story ends, but we have to at least do our part as the body of Christ to throw the monkey wrench into the plans. We can't sit idly by. Is that a fair statement to make?
Yeah, and when you said that, I was thinking of the environmental movement. And again, you know, I recognize that a lot of what we're saying, for some people, they, again, probably not the majority of your audience, but for some people that I would say are still clueless and hopefully will wake up, they have a knee-jerk reaction to because they are under mind control. And the major characteristic of mind control is that you are convinced you are not under mind control. And the major evidence of mind control is you are convinced that you are an individual, independent thinker. And it's almost ludicrous to hear people argue how preposterous the idea of mind control is, and that they are fully free thinking individuals, and yet what they espouse is word for word, with no deviation, the exact same thinking and philosophy of 100 and other million people who have received the exact same programming that they have, and they are part of collective groupthink. It's ludicrous, but they're incapable of analyzing it. But you know, the environmental movement is a Trojan horse to destroy Judeo-Christian society and bring in totalitarian laws that will accomplish the agenda of the elite. And people don't understand that the target of the elite has been for a while, and they're now succeeding. And Soros, George Soros, has gone on BBC and openly spoke about this and all throughout Europe with tens of millions of people watching live. George Soros has openly said the goal is to transfer the wealth from America and other prosperous Western nations, is to transfer the wealth of the middle class into third world nations, which superficially sounds nice, except it's going to go into the hands of dictators. But what happens with the wealth transfer, which is occurring now, and anybody who doesn't understand that must not be looking at their bank account or their lifestyle. I mean, you know, people are being brainwashed. I mean, literally, they're being to such an absurdity that they are now driving cars the size of little bicycles with a shell around them, and they drive them so proudly as if they're saving the planet, when in reality they've been duped. Because there is no energy shortage, there never has been. They're not protecting the planet. They're actually being duped into accepting a lower class standard of living, and they're being taught to delight in it and rejoice in it. Whereas in previous generations, Americans proudly had the affluence economically for the middle class to enjoy driving large automobiles, and that was not evil, and that is not destroying the planet, and it's not destroying our culture. It was a luxury that was reflective of a middle class lifestyle that was middle class, but that has been systematically destroyed, and now we are removing the middle class globally. You're going to have a very tiny upper class, and the vast majority will be a underclass. And the way to get people to accept it is through brainwashing. So you have Americans now accepting everything smaller, everything cheaper. If you notice the movies very carefully that are coming out by, I was laughing as I was watching this movie from this filthy rich young Hollywood actor, everybody would know his name, and he's always portraying a middle-class guy in his movies, yet he's probably worth a couple of $100 million and has his own private jet. So he plays at being the middle class. And the role model, the character he always plays, the line was from this movie the other day, was that only in America could you work. And it was, I'm not saying it was Costco, but it was a Costco-type operation. And he literally said in his line, only in America could you work 10 years at a Costco-type company, start in the, I don't know, he's a janitor or something, and become the manager of the store. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with hard work. But that is a far lower aspiration than the middle class has had in previous generations. The aspiration for the middle class in previous generations was home ownership, a good standard of living and a much higher level job than working your posterior off for a decade to be the manager of Costco, which is not a high-paying job. So that's brainwashing to get you to accept and identify and basically say in groupthink, it's acceptable now to celebrate the lower class lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
It's been said you construct a cage with a few of the, extra things we have, the TVs and the electronics. You fill a jail cell with a few goodies, and people will be satisfied with it, even though that in reality that we live in, it's created for us when we have the power really to create our own reality and go above and beyond anything that our human mind can comprehend. That power is within us, and it's given to us by the Holy Spirit.
And because Christians don't have a biblical worldview, they only have a Jesus experience. And by that, I'm not attacking being born again. So I hope people don't misunderstand me. But when you don't have a biblical worldview, which basically means you apply the truths of reality to economics, science, business, government, politics, sexuality, and so forth, you really don't understand the Bible, and you're somewhat impotent in applying the Bible in real life. So the Bible, if you look at the children of Israel, which were God's people in the Old Testament, and they had a special role, it was God's will when they were obedient, they had freedom as individuals. They didn't have a dictator except when they went into captivity. The average individual in Israel, which was a model for what society was supposed to be like, could work. He could keep his earnings. He could amass wealth and homes and large amount of land. And by today's standard, the middle class person in ancient Israel would have been considered filthy rich. But as we moved away from the biblical model, we now accept the humanistic model. And the humanistic model, which is the rejection of God's principles, always produces a loss of freedom, totalitarianism, and poverty and slavery. Because in essence, when a nation moves from the principles of God, which is what America has done, to the false gods of the New Age, you in essence go into captivity, slavery, and often death, annihilation, and destruction. It happened over and over again, methodically throughout the Old Testament, kingdom after kingdom, king after king. It was a cycle that God was trying to show mankind. The cycle of mathematical certainty. If you do certain things, you're going to prosper as a nation and a people, as an individual. If you do other things, you're going to go into captivity and slavery. And that same system is moving with the same mathematical precision before our eyes today.
Exactly. Very, very well said. You know, you had mentioned something earlier, and we're going to be taking a break here at the top of the hour in about a minute and a half. But I just wanted to get your take on something here. You had mentioned earlier about the crushing of the middle class, in part, but what we're seeing on a global level, and I think you alluded to this, is a massive reallocation of wealth and.
Right.
Especially involving the third world countries, we're seeing the buildup of China, which I believe if you look at the agenda of the Luciferians or Illuminati, it started with the Olympics being held in China in 2008, at least visibly.
Right.
Okay. In fact, that was, I think, one of the most expensive or most costly show for the Olympics, but we have this regime change through Arab Spring. We've got this now, this shall I say, a third world pope at the Vatican who is going to be involved. Well, actually, it was titled by Time magazine, the New World Pope. We're seeing this massive reallocation of wealth into or out of North America, into South America and other regions, including Europe and Asia, but with China and Russia. But and I know I'm kind of going in different directions here, but we're seeing a massive power shift
right
of things, and people really need to understand the big picture here from the papacy. I don't want to talk about Catholics, but I'm talking about the politics of the Vatican, the Vatican Bank and such. But all of that combined, all of everything that you're saying, you've said here, is really so very important for people to really get to understand exactly what's taking place. Folks, we're at the top of the hour. Our very, very special guest is Mr. Paul McGuire. Please, folks, visit his website, bookmark his website, read the articles, and by all means, I would definitely grab his books. His website, linked to our website, HomelandSecurityUS.com, is, of course, PaulMcGuire.org and PaulMcGuire.com. From there, you can get articles and also his store. I just finished ordering some material from Mr. McGuire himself, and we want to thank him so much for spending his time tonight on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, we're all going to be back right after this break. Give us about 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. We're going to be back. Stay with us.
If you are stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a Horologium Nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems?
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour this Thursday, April 4th edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined by our very special guest, Mr. Paul McGuire. You can find his website, paulmcguire.com and paulmcguire.org. Go to our website at homelandsecurityus.com, and there you can find links to his site and information. Before we get into this third hour, I just want to mention to people in our interactive chat, and those who don't participate in our interactive chat, we do have a few people in there in need of some prayers. Grimace3. In chat, and also Larry and Lindy, and anybody else who is suffering from illnesses or ailments or going through that with their family, our hearts and prayers go out to you, and we wish you the best, and we hope that you stay in touch and know that you're in our prayers.
Yes, indeed, and we are one extended family. We pray for all of you every night and every day. We thank you very much for your trust and your belief in us, and for allowing us to bring on people like Mr. Paul McGuire, who really have a great handle on the larger picture of things. Mr. McGuire, let me start out this hour by asking a question I think kind of strikes at the core of what we're talking about as well. And I want to get your take on this. What we're seeing right now, for example, through the homosexual agenda, through the Supreme Court ruling, through the abortions, I mean, you name it, the level and the condition of sin that people are taking our country to, God really cannot bless us as a nation if we fall under this situation, this course of sin. They know that if we place ourselves, I mean, when I say they, I'm talking about the Illuminati, the Luciferians. They know that if we place ourselves in this situation as a nation in sin, in direct opposition to his laws, his veil of protection is going to be lifted. Do you think that this is part of their agenda? And to fight it, of course, you know, we would need this revival of the remnant in order to fight what we're seeing. Do you think that this is part of it?
Well, I think that's a very excellent perception on your part, and I think you're absolutely right. Because they have a very sophisticated understanding of the power of God and the power of Lucifer and how spiritual and scientific power and so forth works. So I think you're exactly right. And I think they understand it better than most Christians, that if they can cultivate a culture of rebellion from God and breaking God's laws, diffuses the power of God from ruling and influencing a nation. So I think you hit the nail on the head. And I would add to that I believe very strongly that, and I've thought about this quite a while, and I hope people don't misunderstand me. I've taken a very strong and biblical and public stance for years on a lot of issues. So I've been out there in the public. I mean, I've debated leading gay activists on CNN. But I managed, by the grace of God, to communicate biblical truth without apologizing for it. But at the same time, win the respect, to whatever degree, of a very cynical group of people in the studio, and I'm sure in their audience. And that comes from, you know, seeking God's wisdom for skill. Unfortunately, I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody else, but I don't see that skill displayed a lot. I don't want to sit here and beat up on Christian leaders, but I mean, if you're going to go on a major talk show, for crying out loud, and you're serious about the Bible, you better study how that talk show works and how that host works and the dynamics of conflict between the host and the guest. You better get it down like somebody who's a boxer and watches videos of another boxer. Because if you don't, you're going to get clobbered. And I don't think you will be a faithful communicator if you enter that arena without being fully prepared. Now, that's just a side note, and that comes from my very first debate on a big cable network where I did rather well, but there were four people in the debate, and I was trying to be polite and waiting for my turn to speak, and I realized I was losing because nobody was concerned about being polite, and they had their own rules. So I learned the hard way, but it only took me one show to learn. Then I began to systematically study the dynamics of the hosts and the guests and how the conflict would occur and directions the host and device the host would use to manipulate the outcome of the program. And if somebody's going to go into the major media realm and you're a major Christian leader, please stay home if you don't bother to learn the rules of the game. That's a side issue. So back to what you're saying. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. So when you go back throughout history, the Canaanites were the Canaanites. They were doing all kind of abominable things, sacrificing their children alive to burning statues of Molech, sexual orgies, drug-taking, human sacrifice. It was prevalent all over the land of Canaan, which was the land that God promised Abraham and his physical descendants, which was also the land of Israel. And that was, these pagan practices were cruel, they were satanic, and Israel was always backsliding and adopting the very same practices, like Solomon, by marrying foreign wives, which was forbidden, must have, to one degree or another, in his final years, participated in child sacrifice, because he married worshipers of Molech and Baal. So we come to American society, and we look at all the problems that you just mentioned. But this train has been visibly and out in the open coming toward us for at least 100 years. So this spiritual battle for our nation has been moving toward us completely out in the open for anybody to see, like a train coming to the station. And the Christian community and the Christian leadership and I suppose those that would consider themselves moral or conservative or whatever, collectively, and there were many that tried to do something, but the majority of them collectively, after repeated warnings, completely decided to ignore the reality that this train was coming. So America's in the mess today, first and foremost, even with the mention of the Illuminati. If you go to ground zero, to where the spiritual energy is released, and you reflect on Deuteronomy 28 or many of the other passages in the Bible, you see that the turning point for blessing or a curse on a nation always revolves around this core principle. And the core principle is that if you obey the Lord and worship the Lord as God, the God of the Bible, and if you obey his commandments and diligently seek after his word and do his word, you're going to be prospered. And there's a full description of this prosperity that covers economics, agriculture, childbirth, governance, and all kinds of things. Conversely, in the second part of Deuteronomy chapter 28, there is a specific outline of the curses, such as immigrants coming into your land and taking over your land as a curse, according to Deuteronomy 28. Why is that happening? The root cause is spiritual. So in every kingdom in Israel, they were attacked by their enemies. They were brought in captivity. Their economy crashed. They had chaos, and they were living in destruction of every kind. And the root cause always was, century after century, kingdom after kingdom, without any deviance in the formula or principle of God, that when a king and the people rejected the word of God and began to worship false gods, Israel would fall under a curse, and that included economically, and go into captivity. When the people repented of disobeying God's word, when they began to read God's word, treat it seriously, and seek the Lord, then they would be blessed. So America is not an exception to that eternal principle that God set up. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were in paradise. There was no such thing as death. They had complete economic prosperity. Everything worked perfectly. Their bodies, the society, it was paradise. There was no degrading of their reality experience. They didn't even have disease. When they lost paradise, they lost paradise because of the same thing, which is the universal constant law of God. They stopped listening to God's word. He said, don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. And they listened to the word of Lucifer embodied in the serpent, who tempted them and promised them that they would be as gods. When they disobeyed God's word, it was like a cosmic switch was tripped, and immediately a supernatural power that is very, very powerful, called the death force or the law of sin and death, invaded every cell of their being and completely took over the multidimensional nature of the reality they lived in, which was paradise. And instantly, they lost their relationship with God. Instantly, there was a massive degradation in their physiology, in their mental state. They began dying for the first time, and everything degraded. You began to have murders and rapes and wars and crime, but the turning point was on that rejection of God's word. So that's the principle by which the universe is constructed. Now, America is no different. The church has seen this coming visibly for 100 years, but it is chosen to disobey the word of God. Our churches are filled with pastors who are in applause of the people, turning them away from the word of God, and there is a curse on the land. But that curse could have been prevented at any time in the last 100 years, but everybody chose to ignore it. Now, we are where we are now, but we really can't blame the homosexuals or the secular society, because judgment begins in the house of the Lord. The power source of the universe, the supernatural power of rulership or spiritual authority, which was given to Adam and Eve, because they weren't just inhabitors of paradise, they were rulers of paradise, and they were given supernatural power and authority to rule paradise. Now, that is given to God by his people when they're in synchronization with him. So even at this disastrous moment, which we both agreed was a turning point for the rest of time, at least for now, there's a brief window of opportunity. And there can be the introduction and the flood of a massive spiritual force, which I want to describe temporarily as raw power, but it's more than raw power because it represents the outflow of the nature of the personal living God of the universe, who can at any moment reintroduced to whatever temporal degree the life force back into the society. That's an energy flow. That's a transfer of energy from the fourth dimension into our three-dimensional world. And when that happens, and it can be described as a great awakening or an authentic biblical revival, there is such a mass release of spiritual power that it literally, in a descriptive nature, cracks the sound barrier, goes faster than the speed of light, breaks outside of the time continuum, and it changes reality and drives back demonic controlling powers that are ruling this nation, not because they have superior force. They are ruling this nation because the people of God have rejected his word, and when they reject his word, they reject the supernatural power of rulership that he has given them, and they lose by default. In other words, it's like a big football game. It's like a spiritual Super Bowl, and if your team doesn't show up, well, you lose. So the church has not shown up, and the demonic powers have taken over the nation. The only thing that can change it at this critical moment, and the window's closing quickly, is there has to be a reversal in the power flow onto this planet, specifically the United States of America, and that reversal will only come when we access the fourth dimension or seek the face of God with more intensity and more devotion than the servants of Lucifer passionately serve their master. If we would serve our master with the same passion and devotion that Lucifer's servants serve him, we would see a turnaround, at least temporarily, in America. Not completely, because that won't happen until the second coming. But that can happen at the very moment God's people, at whatever percentage is acceptable to the Lord, make that radical change in their hearts and turn on the switch. And that switch just happens to be, as you said, genuine repentance. And the acknowledgement that we have to acknowledge that the fact that America is going down and the evil that exists in America is not the fault of any particular politician or political party. Ultimately, it is the fault of the church, which has defaulted on its rulership and authority. And as long as we stay in that default mode spiritually, we're going to go into captivity and be conquered. That is not the will of God. But we, you know, to summarize what I just said very quickly, it's not an accident that you and Joe and me are talking right now. That's not an accident. God knew us before the foundation of the world. He predestined for us to be here for such a time as this. He downloaded everything we need and need to carry out our plan, our destiny. So we were chosen by the foundation before the foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this. God knew us before our mother and father had relations and conceived us. God knew us outside of time. And that goes for the same of every single person listening to the show. And I want to take it further. And it's in regards to this show. But I've heard this, I've felt the presence of this in many of the other shows. I'm thinking of Steve Quayle especially. I've heard the presence of this in many of the other shows where you get the very deep sense that we are listening together. We are participating in this conversation that was planned before the foundation of the world, and that every single person listening, and I thought it was very beautiful how you offered to care for them and pray for them. because that's not something a secular network would do, and it reflects the fact that you are a loving community. So for the community that's listening all around the world via the internet or however else they're accessing your radio program, Hagman and Hagman, every single one of those people are listening by divine plan, and they were called before the beginning of time to be here for such a time as this. That's not just a general time period. That's every specific time period, and that means specifically now. And they're being called to listen now because I believe that the Lord is trying to communicate to his people. And this is not just about me and being a guest in your program, because I've heard this in other programs. I'm especially thinking of Steve Quayle. The Lord is trying to communicate to his people, and that's why you have one of the fastest growing internet radio shows in the world, because people are hungry for truth. And you have truth in the menu, and they're hungry for it. So the people that are listening, they are resonating with what's happening in the fourth dimension or the spiritual dynamic of your program, because they're in tune with it. They sense by the Spirit of God that this is right, this is what God once said, and this is how we need to perceive and act for what's coming. So they're in unity, but they need to understand, and I believe many of them do, that they are listening right now and to the other programs because God ordained it. So it's not just an accident that they're tuning in right now or to the other programs. It's not just circumstantial. It's not just because they saw an e-blast or an email. They are here ultimately because behind all that, the personal living God of the universe arranged for this time as a divine appointment because he wants to download supernatural information which will change the destiny of human history. Now, I'm not talking about Christian reconstructionism or a Christian paradise on earth, but I'm talking about what we do between now and the time Christ returns.
Wow. Well, that's certainly... I always say, and Joe as well, we say that, you know, we were born for this time. We were, there's a reason we're here for this time at this moment. And we all have jobs to do as part of the body of Christ. I want to say the church, but that's misleading. But and we have to play our particular positions or zones, and we have to do what we're called upon to do. And I believe that this is part of the awakening process. I mean, we can talk about the Federal Reserve. We could talk about the Illuminati. We could talk about you name the various components of this, but we're striking, you're striking at the core, at the very core, at the very heart of the driving force of everything we're seeing, and the ultimate good versus evil war that we are fighting. So I think that this, what you're doing, sir, I believe is adding the necessary context to the things such as Alex Jones talks about and others talk about. You know, they can show the Trilateral Commission and CFR and show everything that's going on, but the spiritual component, that's where the real battle lies, in my view. And I think that, contextually, I think it's so important that so many Christians miss this entirely or misinterpret this whole issue entirely. So
I think we do a great job. Sometimes in our chat room, in our own network of people, is infighting and arguments, and it's very uplifting to have a man like yourself come on the show. And you might not agree with everything we say, or you know, everything some of our guests say, or you might agree with all of it, but either way, the ability to become unified under one objective, and that is serving the Lord and trying to bring people to salvation, lead them to the Lord for salvation. It can't be said enough that people who will do this for, you know, no reason other than the will of the Lord, it's very special people that are there ready to do this at a moment's notice. And I want to thank you for being one of those people, Mr. McGuire, because as you said, you know, we are different from other shows. We don't try to fit into any kind of politically correct or social norm viewpoints. We just call it like we see it. And we've been put here on this path and ended up doing it from a political standpoint to a biblical, more of a biblical standpoint. And the Lord has been pushing us in that direction, sometimes unwillingly, sometimes willingly. But we're here now, not by anything we can explain with our own words, how we got here, how our audience grew. This is all the Lord's work. And even tonight, getting you on the show, this was, in my opinion, all the Lord's doing. And I would just like to ask, what in your mind would be the most effective way? I see people dealing with this. This is one of the main issues people ask us about, their own families, the division in their own families, their own marriages, their own churches, the arguing with the doctrine.
Oh, yeah, we're seeing it so much. And it's so incredible, Paul, that this divisiveness is so I mean, I've never seen so much divisiveness
right
among people.
They're here. Satan's agenda is to divide the believers, not to go after the atheists or the unbelievers.
Right.
What can we do to counterbalance this, maybe that we're not already doing, or what can we do more of?
Well, I very appreciate the fact that you're aware of the serious nature of that kind of thing in terms of it being a spiritual attack, because that's what it ultimately is. But also Christ told us that before his return, there would be intense labor pains and like a woman travailing before birth. And I think that's what we're seeing. But he also said, you know, that there would be families broken up where one member of the family would be against another member of the family because of the truth of his word. And the truth of his word shakes the real truth of his word. It's not that none of us want to promote disharmony or a lack of love, but the truth of his word shakes up all structures based on the human will or the human authority, because human authority is only legitimate at any level, including a marital level, to the degree that it's under the authority of God. If any authority, and that means that even in a marriage relationship or an employee-employer relationship, in any relationship, if that authority is abused and it violates the foundational laws of God, it becomes illegitimate authority. So when you introduce truth into any context, whether it's a family or a church or a society, that truth, as it says in the Bible, is a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. And see, true truth confronts, because true love confronts, and it shakes things up. So when you have a structure that is completely based on a false foundation and is destructive and poisonous and is self-preserving, like some kind of spiritual parasite which exists in the form of a societal structure or a church structure or so on, when that spiritual parasite, which is anchored into a demonic force, is confronted with truth, there's going to be a strong antagonistic reaction. So what I'm noticing is the same thing that you are. As this truth is shaking things up, which is what God wants to do, because he can't bring people to the truth unless he breaks the darkness and deception off of them, you're seeing people in various reaction stages to the truth. Those whose hearts are open are responding to the truth, whether it's spiritual truth, psychological truth, economic truth, political truth, scientific truth. People who have a hunger to the truth, not propaganda, not an ideology, not their opinions based on nothing. You know, a lot of people thought the world was flat, and they would get furious at the people who suggested that the world was round or oval. Well, we have a lot of flatliners, even in flat earthers in the Christian culture. So they're being confronted with the truth, and some of them are responding favorably, and they're opening to the Lord, and they're accepting their divine assignment from God, and others are fighting it, and we need to pray for them and be patient, because all of us, including myself, have fought the Lord as he's called us, especially when he allowed us to see things that were completely contradictory to the reality that we assumed falsely was true. That's a frightening moment. So people are getting angry. So you're seeing a shakeup. I'm hearing of women especially, and I'm not picking on women, because there's many women who are very much awake, but there are a certain percentage, and I don't know what the percentages are of men versus women, that when the male, because I guess he's more psychologically and spiritually equipped to handle hard truth, comes to grasp with the reality of what's really going on, it creates, unfortunately, a strain in the marriage. And the woman, not all women, again, sometimes wants to divorce the husband and tells the husband, basically, shut up, I don't want to hear about all this conspiracy stuff. But the husband's not trying to talk about conspiracy stuff. The husband's trying to communicate truth. But that truth rocks the boat. So it's a tough place that we're in, and it's not comfortable, but Jesus never said it would be comfortable. And, you know, when we look at Jesus, who is the model, he was the Son of God, and his disciples were his representatives, and they were treated horribly, and they were opposed violently by the religious establishment and the Pharisees. But the Pharisees haven't gone away. They're still here. Christians who think, you know, they have a very small bandwidth of truth, and if you introduce the reality of a larger truth or a larger reality, they become very threatened and they attack viciously. You know, we need to have our spiritual armor on, but we can't back down. It's not about a popularity contest. We speak, and I want to emphasize this very strongly, we speak the truth in love. I hear a lot of people speaking the truth, but I don't hear the love. And love can be aggressive, but we speak the truth in love, and truth is supposed to rock the boat. It's also supposed to heal, but it can't heal until it first rocks the boat. So we have to be faithful to that, because that's how we take back our nation and our families.
And you just hit on something so important, the love aspect of it. I see so many people who will, through these divisions, although they are together under Christ or under the, say they are, the arguing over scripture, the arguing over who is perpetrating these this tyranny on us. And you had something in one of your videos, the deception in government, I think it was, and you stated very clearly something I always like to point out as much as I remember, how important it is to pray for our enemies, to pray for the leaders of the earth, as these people are also human beings too. Can you expand on that a little bit?
You know, it's really interesting that you brought that up at this time, because in the back of my mind, I had been wanting to talk about this, and I was waiting for the right opportunity. I just didn't want to impose it on the conversation. But prompted me to talk about something that I really wanted to talk about, because I felt it was important. And what I'm first going to say, a lot of people know is the truth, but a lot of people potentially are going to misunderstand it and probably become angry with me. I really don't care about that, and I want your listeners to know it's not because I'm arrogant. I like to be loved and accepted, but I'm not going to live and die whether you accept or reject me. And I don't like to get into peripheral arguments, no matter how important people think they are, and they always think they're important. And that isn't to say that they aren't important, but and I don't mean that with condescension. I'm simply not going to edit what I'm going to say based on a popularity poll. I'm going to edit based on input and research, and input from people that have paid the price to know what they're talking about and have the maturity in the Lord. But anyway, you know, the Bible commands us to pray for our leaders. And we all, including myself, the reality is we spend far more time hating our leaders, looking at their pictures and having visceral hatred because we don't agree with their policies or their plans. And I'm not suggesting that people not have a strong opinion. I'm not suggesting that people don't exercise their right to disagree with their leaders, nor am I suggesting that they shouldn't stand up in the marketplaces of ideas and speak out in an intelligent, rational way. And that can be done. You can be very aggressive and loving at the same time. Your communication does not have to be wimpy, but it has to be postured in love. That's the only thing that sets you above your opponent who's filled with hatred. So, and you don't do that by compromising the truth, by the way. So we have to pray for our elected leaders. That means we are responsible to pray for Obama, and I could name the heads of various governmental departments and agencies that probably would drive people completely nuts if I name their names on the air. But the reality is we are commanded by God to pray for every one of these individuals. Now, the reason for that is that the way spiritual law works and the way the power of God works and the way we exercise rulership and stewardship of that supernatural power, that power can only be released and directed effectively if we operate within the laws of God's kingdom. And he requires of us to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who despitefully use us, and to pray for our elected officials or unelected officials, people in power, whether we agree with them or not. Because it's only through the power of our prayers that the possibility or avenue or portal, if you will, exists for God's power to be released on their life, for God to appeal to that individual, for God to instruct and guide that individual. And even if that individual or group resists or defies God, by you praying for him and her or her, you've taken it into the arena of the fourth dimension, and now their dealing is between themselves and God. And God speaks to people, just like Lucifer does. And God speaks to prime ministers and presidents and CEOs. He speaks directly to them, and they can either reject his commandments and instructions or accept them. Now, if they reject his instructions, they're rejecting his rulership because he is the only rightful king of the universe. And at a certain point, they, like any of us, will experience judgment for that because it's a rebellion from the king of the universe and it's a breaking of divine law. But the only opportunity exists is when we pray for them. Now, also when we are praying for them out of a pure heart, and we pray for them as individuals, it also releases God's power fully. And there's a correlationship or a relationship between our spiritual condition collectively and the amount of power that is released by God in dealing with the rulers of this world. And if we are in a right relationship with God, and we seek the face of God, and we begin to pray for these people, God will keep raising the ante or the power level, and he will move at his will beyond merely instructing and guiding and commanding these individuals. But if we are in right relationship or synchronization with the divine power flow, then God's power is released to a further escalation where God can, as sovereign king, decide to overrule anyone on planet Earth in any position. And if God chooses, without our interference, if God chooses so, he can remove them from office or their position or overrule and derail their plans because he is the sovereign king. In every case in the Old Testament, when the Jews went into captivity and they began to lose their battles with kings and kingdoms that were their enemies, it was not because of the military superiority of the enemy. It was because they had disobeyed God. They were out of synchronization with the divine power flow, and God allowed these adversarial kings and kingdoms to come in and triumph over them. But that triumph was only allowed because they rejected by default their obedience to the lordship of Christ.
Much like we're seeing in America or have seen in America following, especially following the attacks of 2001, where our leadership is out of sync or synchronization with God's laws, and when we should be in a state of repentance, we are in a state of arrogance. And the harbinger comes to mind just on that level in that context. But having said that, we've got less than 15 minutes left of this program, which unbelievably has gone so quickly. I just cannot believe how fast this program has gone. Mr. McGuire, if you can, if we can just kind of switch gears just a little bit.
Sure.
You have authored books and DVD series, American Dictatorship, The Coming Event That's Going to Change Everything, Are You Ready for the Microchip, The Day of the Dollar Died. We're seeing all of this. I mean, everything you've written and produced is so timely. In the remaining time we have, and we hope, by the way, that you'll come back, because the enrichment, I think, that people have received from your appearance tonight is just to the moon. I mean, wow. But that said, sir, what do you see taking place here? Where we're at today with the dire economic situation, the North Korean situation, you name it. What do you see taking place if we remain on the course that we're on? What do you see coming?
You know, when you say that, I tremble with fear. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And if we continue on our present course, I can guarantee your audience with mathematical certainty that unless there is some kind of major change in God's people, first and foremost, we are going to see a destruction, a decimation, of chaos and apocalypse and Holocaust that will be on a level that the human history of mankind has never experienced before. So all the people, and I'm not picking on them, you know, personally, but all the people who are going to smile and have a happy face type of church and don't want to deal with reality, that reality is going to come upon you like a violent storm, whether you like it or not. And the storm clouds are gathering, and Christ warned us to pay attention of the signs of the times. So a darkness and a destruction that is beyond the scope of the human imagination is coming with mathematical certainty unless there are major changes in the hearts of God's people.
Wow. So, well, that's kind of our thought as well.
And we all see it coming, yet we all want it to stay as far away, you know.
Right.
We don't want to see I don't have children yet, but many of our listeners do, the children, the grandchildren,
right,
the futures of happiness. People don't like to hear that the possibility of those futures could be cut short.
That's true, but deep in their heart, collectively, humanity, Christian and non-Christian, all have a sense that that is the truth and it's coming. They just suppress it. But now, having said that, I want to say this immediately, because the purpose in saying that is not to drive people into suicidal despair, of which there's no hope. And it's not to produce a paralysis, because that's if you're in a state of paralysis and dismantling fear after hearing that, even if you're suppressing it, you are being spiritually paralyzed from being an instrument of what God wants to do on this earth at this critical hour. And the only way that you can overcome that is that you have to exercise your childlike faith to see through the Holocaust and the death and devastation. And you have to go beyond it. And I know it's hard. And what happened to me is, like you and many others, I analyzed everything that we're seeing now from every perspective possible and said, is there a way out humanly, through scientific means, economic means, whatever. And any way I adjusted the puzzle piece, I saw apocalypse. There is no way out from the present dilemma. However, the Lord showed me something, and it was like I entered a dark room, and I was standing in this dark room, and all I saw was darkness, and there was no doorway out. I was trapped in total darkness. There was no door. There was no way out, and that's what people are experiencing right now. And it's a sense of hope. Are we still there? Gentlemen,
we're here.
Okay.
Yep, I heard that click.
So what happened was the Lord said to me that I have allowed you to come to this place, not just me, but us, because I want you to realize that there is no way out. What you're seeing is accurate. There is no doorway in the dark room that you're standing in. No room exists. And before I was suffocated with fear, then the Lord said to me, but when you begin to seek my face with childlike faith and ask me for a way of deliverance, I will create a door that previously did not exist. And you will look in this dark room, and I did, and I saw a door. And the Lord said, that door is the way out. It didn't exist before, but as you began to seek my face like a little child, I created the door because I wanted you to learn, and he meant collectively, I wanted us to learn that I am the only way out. Apart from me, there is no door. There is no way out for you as a people. You are facing apocalypse, but Jesus Christ is the door. And he is the door and the way out. And time doesn't permit us to go into all the implications of that. But if that is understood and people realize that, I'm not promising Disneyland tomorrow, by the way. If people realize that he alone is their source and he alone can create a door where there is no door, then the Holy Spirit produces hope in the human heart. Because like we are at the eclipse of total death, but we're not, depending upon how we respond to the Lord.
Interesting how you phrased that. And we only have several minutes left here. With the acceleration of events, and I know you had you were granted, from my readings here, you were granted a vision on the 4th of July of last year. Does time permit you to just encapsulate or just summarize what?
Yeah, but just tell me how many minutes we have, and I can tell you whether I can.
We've got about 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, I can share it succinctly. First, I want to tell your listeners is that I don't have visions. very often. I've probably had one or two, if even that, during my entire life. I've had inspired imaginations. I've had pictures that I believe came from the Lord, gifts of the Spirit, but I have never had a vision like this before. So on July 4th, my wife and I were reminiscing over our marriage, because we've been married for like 35 years. And when we were dating in Manhattan on July 4th, many years ago, decades ago, there was a great celebration in Manhattan, and huge ships from all over the world circled the island of Manhattan, and we were talking about that. And then I decided that we should intercede and pray for our nation. And my wife was joining me, and it was a simple prayer. You know, we weren't beating the drum beats or something. And I simply came before the Lord on behalf of myself and the body of Christ and our nation. And I repented briefly but succinctly concerning my own sins and the sins of the church and the sins of our nation. And I interceded and asked the Lord for forgiveness. But I was specific about the nature of the sins, such as false doctrine, idolatry, and so on and so forth. And immediately after the repentance part of the prayer, something happened to me that never happened before in my life. I had been struggling with this issue. Is there hope for America? Is there a possibility of at least temporal relief? Is there a possibility of help? And immediately after the prayer of repentance, something happened to me that never happened before in my life. I was set on fire by the power of God. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about being baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit. That had happened to me. I'm not talking about being set on fire by the Holy Spirit. That had happened to me. I'm talking about being set on fire at a dimension that I'd never experienced before, where my body was literally burning with the most intense heat. And I spoke very calmly to my wife as this was happening. I kept looking at my fingers, and my fingers were literally burning and on fire with enormous intensity. And I kept explaining this to my wife, and I was wondering why I wasn't being harmed, but I could feel a heat beyond any kind of heat I've ever felt before. And I was literally on fire. And then the fire of God moved through me, and I said to my wife, I said, I was just healed. And don't ask me what I was healed of, but I had a knowledge that during this process I was healed of something. And then immediately after that, I had a vision where it was like I was looking down upon Earth, specifically the continent of North America, from the position of a satellite orbiting the planet in space. I was looking down, and I saw America specifically, and I saw America in darkness. But very, very slowly, I felt that the fire I had experienced was also erupting, beginning to erupt on the west coast of America. And very slowly, I began to see the outlines of people's faces and bodies lit up like the golden color of a sunrise or a sunset, which in Hollywood they call the magic hour because of that unusual golden hue. They were being lit up. And this is emotional. I saw them rising from the west coast to the east coast. I saw this fire and light, and they would begin to rise, and they became illuminated. And the fire moved specifically from the west coast to the east coast, and they were rising. And the Lord said to me as they were rising, because it was obvious that they were rising in the power of the Spirit. And I heard the Lord said to me, they are rising. They're rising in the Spirit. And that's all he said. And that was the end of it. And I came away from that vision with the very real sense that this is what God wants to do for America. But that happening is where we are right now. That happening, even though that's the will of God for America, the reality of that happening is contingent upon whether we truly repent and seek his face or not. And so that's where we are, and that's what I feel that I had to share with your listeners. And I feel that's the most important thing that I can share, because I'm talking about a power that is beyond any power the human mind can conceive.
Mr. McGuire, that's amazing, and I want to thank you so very much for sharing that with us. And folks, please understand the emotional depth that was just conveyed by Mr. Paul McGuire. Sir, we're at the end of our program. What a fantastic show, and what a place to stop at this point. I want to thank you both, Joe, and I want to thank you for your time.
You've engaged
untold numbers of people tonight. I want to just say God bless you. Thank you so much for your time.
I hope we can do this again.
Absolutely.
I would love to come back again. And God bless you both, and may he continue to bless what you're doing.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Mr. McGuire.